This is the top video game podcast from HorribleNight.com for Tuesday, April 22nd, 2014, coming at you live on twitch.tv/HorribleNight, all one word. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, joined tonight by Jason Thompson.
How's it going?
I think it's going good. I haven't talked to you in... I mean, every time I say, I think I start every show with you on, I haven't talked to you in a while, but like, we need to find ways to communicate other than Twitter in between podcasts. But how the hell are you?
In between comments on your dog's pictures.
Hey, it's a cute looking dog. Like we took a pretty damn good Easter photo.
Or maybe your dog's pictures of you, because I think maybe that's more the case.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. If he could, I need to train him to do selfies. That would be trendy, right? That's a thing people do.
He already knows how to look directly into the camera lens, and it freaks me out every time.
Yeah, he does. Just
peering into my soul. I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Excellent. Excellent. How's things outside of games? What have you been up to?
Man, I've been... So, let's see. Late June, like the last week of June, up until the July 4th holiday, my wife and I are going to... Virginia Beach.
Cool.
And Williamsburg. So I've got to get in shape, not for the colonial people, but for the beach people.
Yeah, they're so judgmental, those beach people. Especially the douchebags like me that just sit back with their sunglasses on and look at everyone. I don't do that.
Yeah. Well, I needed like a date. That's how I work. Like I needed a firm date to just work everything towards. And I actually found a workout regimen. At bodybuilding.com of all places.
Like, tell me you got linked there. You didn't go there to find it.
I've been there before.
Okay.
I've been there before. I actually have like an account, and it's actually a really good website.
That sounds so generic, it shouldn't make sense. Like,
no, it's a really, like, over the last 2 years, they've really improved the website. It's uncanny.
I would assume it would be a link bait website, so.
Not quite. But I found like this 12-week workout that essentially what it does is it sets up like three phases. So every 4 weeks you go through a different phase of the workout routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it also provides you with a basic diet that you can basically work off of every day. And I'm actually looking at it right now. It's crazy. Basically, you eat 7 times a day.
Whoa.
Not huge meals. Sometimes 9 times. And you also get to eat gummy bears after your workouts.
Special gummy bears, like...
Yeah, like it keeps you... No, not the sugarless kind, because then you'll shit yourself.
That's good for weight loss. That's what I heard. Yeah, that's really healthy.
Really good for weight loss, yeah. Take those while you do some power squats.
Yeah.
Clean yourself out. But I'm on day... I just started. I started last Thursday, so I'm almost a week into it. And I actually do feel better. I actually haven't had caffeine for almost 2 weeks. I haven't ate much of anything with sugar, really. I got through Easter pretty well, which was pretty surprising. My wife,
I think that's sacrilegious if you don't eat the head out of a chocolate bar.
My wife and I went over to a couple friends' their place, and there was quite the feast that I managed to find a way of working into my diet. So... it's been going good. So we'll see. I got through my first full week of workouts because I work out, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and Monday to be really specific. So, I always talk about working out. I always do. And it always seems like I'm such a pretentious douchebag, but that's just, it's just what I literally, that's what I do. I go from work and I work out and I come home and I play games. It's just what I do.
Maybe I should move the off-topic stuff to the end of the show so we don't open with douchebag central. And
But check it out. Like if you're really serious about getting something that's like, here's the exact workouts you need to do and this is the stuff you need to be eating. If you're really serious about doing it for 12 weeks, just go to bodybuilding.com and search for, I think it's shortcut to size is what it's called.
Interesting.
Because essentially you're just trying to build muscle and lose extra weight. So
it sounds like the polar opposite of, so when we did Justin Gifford and I did our little gaming our asses off for trying to lose weight and trying to get a certain gamer score in that same amount of time, which I think I've put on twice the weight that I lost, so that could be a problem. I need to revisit that. But I was doing calorie counting during that, and like my vice still continues to be sodas and sugar. So, but I do feel great when I do cut those out of my diet. But I was talking with one of my buddies who's lost a ton of weight since college, and his route, like I said, would be the polar opposite of what you're doing. He still, you know, kind of make sure you work out every day or every other day or whatever, but it involves fasting for 24 hours at a time. Like, you're basically on and off. And he's a doctor, so that has to mean something.
Yeah, but does he have, like, body mass, like muscle mass?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways of going about it. My metabolism is super high, so the fact that I'm eating seven, like, small meals a day is not a bad thing.
Yeah. It was just kind of funny how I was considering the polar opposite. But, I mean, that's the thing right now. I hear, like, everybody's all about, this worked for me, and you've got plenty of options out there. So
I will say, eat your carbs early in the day because you need them. And then as you go through the night, just start really focusing on proteins. And that'll help because essentially right when you wake up in the morning, overnight your body has been attacking your muscle because it has no more carbs to burn. So you immediately want to put a good like carb, like a cantaloupe or some sort of fruit that your body will sort of start burning for metabolism and go from there. That literally has done wonders for me so far. And any time I've gone on a diet.
This is the nutrition segment from hormonelight.com for the entire year.
So but seriously, like if you sit around and play video games all day, you can do yourself a favor. You could really do yourself a favor by changing your nutrition because it will certainly
allow
help you
to sit longer.
Exactly. If you never work out, it will certainly keep you living slightly longer.
Speaking of sitting still and not doing exercise, I finally watched American Hustle.
Nice.
I'm not like the big go back through all the Oscar movies, but this was the one that I... ended because of an error. Let's see if we can get him back. Yeah?
What happened?
That was the weirdest. I was talking to myself. I think Twitch shut us down.
Twitch was like, "How dare he talk about working out and nutrition?
Lack of video game content. You've been banned." And then, like, they were gonna give me a chance to switch the topic to video games, and I went to movies. But no, I finally watched American Hustle, and I don't know. That was like the only one Oscar movie that I hadn't seen that I really wanted to, and that movie proved to be the weirdest movie I've seen in a while. Nothing at all what I expected. It just
it's not my favorite of his lately. I preferred Silver Linings Playbook last year over American Hustle. So, but a good cast. I mean, that's the thing. Like David
cast,
Russell,
good characters, good characters.
Yeah. It's just when combined, it was not my favorite at the Oscars.
The other thing that stuck out to me was that the director David O. Russell was tied to potentially doing the Uncharted movie, and backed out after he was bombarded with nerd rage over all of his decisions, and just like, dude, I don't need this. I can go make whatever movie I want. So
yeah, any actor wants to work with him right now. So
He could
basically film Christopher Bale watching paint dry and someone would appreciate it.
I think I'd watch that. Like I
would probably watch it. You'd get very angry at the paint.
This is my first non-Batman Christian Bale movie since Batman's. So it's good to kind of just get to see him in something else. And that character that he played was very different than Bruce Wayne. I give him that. So,
although imagine if that was really what Bruce Wayne was like.
I'm sure there's somewhere in the annals of DC Comics they went that route.
That's probably true.
Just to have the comb over of Bruce Wayne with that bad of a comb over.
Oh, totally.
And then I need to go see the Captain America movie because I just
have to go see it. It's amazing.
Without spoiling it, why is everybody says it's awesome?
Okay, because it's not a Captain America movie. It's a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie, and it's totally not what I expected.
So are you still watching the show, S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I'm still watching the show, and it's awful. It's not great, although the movie makes the show better. Somehow.
Gotcha. Okay. Damn it.
Somehow it manages to
do that. Well played.
Yeah, I mean, it's out of I really wasn't a big fan of the first Captain America movie. I enjoyed parts of it. I like Chris Evans as Captain America, but this is way more a like mini Avengers movie rather than like the full fledged, you know, cast and crew. So I was, and I actually saw it in 3D, and I hate 3D movies. I got suckered into like the getting outvoted by everybody that went to go see it.
How are 3D movies in 2014? Like, I feel like all the kinks have to be worked out by now.
My eyes have a hard time with rapid action on the screen, so it takes a while. But I still enjoyed it. I thought it was. It's probably my favorite Marvel production, not my favorite Marvel movie.
Yeah,
but probably my favorite Marvel production since they started.
Cool.
So I'll give them that. It certainly has me interested once again in the Marvel universe, because I was kind of like,
yeah, it's just been too easy for me to avoid going to the movies, and I want to get back into doing that because I really like going to the theater. So hopefully I will, and that seems to be the one I need to go see so far this year. So
yeah, I'm surprised you haven't been spoiled, other than maybe seeing the show.
I think I've had it spoiled, but I'm not trying not to connect the dots. One of those Game of Thrones situations. Holy, well, spoilers have been bad on the internet in the last month. People are terrible, terrible people.
Yeah, it's, I mean, what it is, it's like, it has a lot of action. It has a lot of like mystery, intrigue, some detective work, some, you know, patriotism.
Some Robert Redford.
Yes, Robert Redford is actually pretty awesome in this movie.
That's cool.
It's exactly what he needed to do right now in his career. Like, he just can do, like, I've done everything. I can do a Marvel movie.
Yeah, exactly.
My grandkids will, like, think I'm the coolest guy ever. So, yeah, I give him kudos. And Samuel L. Jackson is really good, too. So, everyone just shows up.
That's cool.
In a big way.
That's cool. I really like the Captain America movie was the surprise of the Gen 1 Marvel movies for me, so because I don't really like that character in the comics, so they've pulled it off with the movies. So anyway, video games, what the hell have you been playing? What's your game of the week, buddy?
Oh my gosh, Attack of the B-Team, which is a mod for Minecraft.
Yeah, walk me through that. It's like, I saw that series pop up on your YouTube channel, and I didn't know if it was just, so without watching them, my first instinct was, he's just like playing Minecraft in character. Like,
no.
He's just, like, setting up a scenario in his mind that he's continuing to play
through.
No, but it's
getting there. Okay. It is kind of getting there.
What is Attack of the B-Team?
Attack of the B-Team is just it's a modded version of Minecraft, so it allows all of these different mods that have been created for Minecraft to be implemented into one big sort of launcher. Mm-hmm. So you're able to, a lot of people have sort of taken all these mods and sort of built these different worlds and these universes that exist, and they all play nice with each other, because a lot of these mods by themselves are just kind of like, okay, I can do this one random cool thing in Minecraft, whereas these people sort of, you know, are able to work with developers and modders to combine all these different mods in order to have this sort of like super uber like Avengers type of Minecraft. Like, you can just do totally ton of different things. It's loosely sort of based on, if you've ever seen any Feed the Beast videos. Mm-mm. I don't know if you've seen any of those. People would be familiar with that, but it's just another inclination of sort of modded Minecraft.
I feel funny, like my fiance's niece is just like heavy into Minecraft right now. She's 11 and at this point knows much more about the game than I ever will. But just, I kind of got exposed more to that mod side because they play the Hunger Games mod a ton. That was kind of, then I started going back through your streams and trying to figure out what the hell are you doing at this point in Minecraft? And like, everybody's not just out there building stuff, but that's my just ignorant outsider assumption is what everybody's doing with Minecraft. But it's kind of cool to see not only the mod scene expand, but definitely mature, and now it sounds like they're working together to make some interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that is what's so good about Mojang or Mojang, however you want to pronounce it. They just welcome that kind of stuff to their game. They are very open to seeing what people come up with and what people can design and build, and it's crazy. In this version of the game and many others that have been modded, there are things called microblocks. So you're not just constricted to like a 1x1 square, you can actually like reduce it to, you can basically reduce almost any block in the game to like a half slab, and then reduce that down, and then reduce it down again so that it's just like this thin cover.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, oh my gosh, you can run pipes that send things around, and
that's cool.
It's crazy. If you're curious about it, check out a couple of my early videos to get a taste, because like I was very lucky. I got invited to a server with a lot of really cool people, some of them actually in chat right now. And it, like any moment that I'm not either working from home or trying to play other video games, I'm in it to just.
That sounds just like you're like, we've talked about games you're live streaming quite a bit on our podcast, but like this one actually sounds like you're genuinely excited to keep going back and playing it. Like it's,
I'm honestly just playing it to be playing it with a bunch of other people. I record when I can. I sort of get to a point where I'm like, I have to stop and start and start doing something for a video because I just get lost in it. I've literally not recorded any other videos other than the video I posted today for a game called Anti-Squad, which I tried to talk about last time.
Gotcha.
And I did not do a very good job talking about it.
Well, tell us more about Anti-Squad then.
Anti-Squad, okay, so I'm pretty sure it was a mobile game, but they've ported it over to the PC. But essentially what it is an action-adventure strategy game with turn-based tactics in it. So you play these various characters sort of from like a DEA group, mm-hmm. and you're going into these cartels, and you have to sort of infiltrate them and, like, you know, kill everybody, or you have certain objectives. I really haven't gotten so far into it, but I played through the tutorial. That's kind of what my video was. I was like, I've never played this. I'm going to play the tutorial, and I played the first level after that. And, yeah, it's just a really fun, energetic, turn-based game with a lot of variety. The music's really good in it. The graphics are really nice. I think it's, like, $4 on Steam right now.
Nice.
So it's super, super cheap. It's early access. I think what they've done is I think they've taken sort of the mobile version of the game and they've expanded it.
Cool.
I think that's what they're doing right now.
Coop and I played a kind of a game in a similar vein that's been out on Android for a while called Meltdown. That is another like $3 or $4 early access game. But you said this is like fast action.
You know, it's turn-based, so, I mean, it's as fast as you want it to be.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, so it's like you have the bad guys and you're the good guys and you're sort of this eclectic group of, you know, different abilities and, you know, genders and stuff like that. And everyone sort of has their own fun little role that they play. And you just run around and, you know, get to this point. Well, you could run straight to that point as long as you get it shot at, or you could go through and kill everybody and then sort of be king of the mountain. It seems like it has a lot of variety for what it is, a little bit of replayability. They kind of encourage you to go back through and sort of play it differently. So, and you can kind of, it's not one of those, I don't think it has like fog of war.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of know where everybody is on the map, which is a little cheaty in my opinion, but it's fun at the same time. Like
how many players at once?
I think it's single player.
Okay.
Gotcha. But you know, there's obviously different, bad guys and stuff running around. Gotcha. So yeah, just, you know, right now I'm kind of like, I'll play a little bit more of it and see if it's maybe worth a video series. If not, maybe I'll stream a little bit of it.
Yeah. What's your testing process like with games you don't really know that you're considering to start a streaming series on?
Well, if I buy the game, that's like step one.
Yeah.
Like when I get to the point when I buy the actual game, I know probably a little bit more than I should. Although with this
game, I'm working to change that. I'm working to make you buy games as ignorantly as possible.
Well,
based off of my lies.
Yeah, this was a cheap $4 purchase. You know, I didn't feel bad about it. I was like $4. I think I actually got it through what was it? Green Man Gaming.
Okay.
I think they were running it might have even been cheaper than that when I bought it. I think it might have been like $2 or something, but you know, that's the difference for me, $4 or $2. Now that I've stopped drinking soda, I can afford stuff now. But what it is, you know, so like today I went through and I was like, I've never played this. I'm going to, you know, this is my first impression. And then at the end of it, I'm like, okay, do you guys want to see more? Or I like right now with that game, I'm like, I'll probably do a few more videos. But really when it comes down to it, if I'm not enjoying the game, it feels like work. And then that's pretty much when I stop playing those games.
Yeah.
Because I actually have a few games that get way more views than my Minecraft videos, but at some point I'm just like,
yeah,
they're just work. Like, I'm just,
and that's what I meant. Like, hearing you talk about Attack of the B Team and now this, I mean, you mentioned Anti-Squad, the thing you kept saying was that it's fun, and then you're genuinely excited to talk about the B Team stuff versus I know you when you've been fatigued by some of the things that you're kind of working through. And I just know that, you know, at the root of this, you got to have fun while you're playing. So that's
you
good.
Do, yeah.
That's good to hear.
And you at the same time, this is only going to make me return to those games possibly stronger, because I know that there's some random game that I can go and just throw 20, 30 minutes at and then get back to, you know, quote unquote work. I mean, you're playing video games. You really can't complain too much.
I mean, I honestly think out of the last like 3 or 4 years, if it wasn't for those little random indie games showing up, those $3 to $4, $3 to $5, just random games I don't know anything about that I try and they're just fun to play or just a fun diversion. Like, without those games, I think I would have fatigued on a lot of my the larger games that I stick with. And so I don't know. It was just cool to hear you excited about games again. So I can't really pick a game of the week, but I have a platform of the week, because I discovered in some of my conversations about Vita and 3DS releases with friends that I don't really touch those systems anymore, because ever since I got my iPad mini, there's been something happening with mobile games. Like, these games are maturing, they're getting better, they're worth talking about, they're worth playing. There's just a lot more quality games out there, and I'm now balancing 4 games on my iPad, and I've talked quite a bit about Hearthstone. So I won't talk anything more other than, if you have any questions, let me know. I also really enjoy streaming Hearthstone. That continues to be fun, but that's I'm always sneaking in a couple games of Hearthstone.
I have yet to watch you play it. I have actually seen no footage of that game, and
I play it randomly. So
I don't know. Magic the Gathering. I saw it in junior high, and I saw the remnants of those people in high school, and I never judged. No,
yeah, I'm with you.
I never judged him, because I was like, there's got to be something there that I'm missing, but it was so over my head.
So what I'll say to that is Hearthstone's tutorial is very welcoming. It is very easy to get into, and that's step one. I mean, well, step zero is it's free to play, and I still don't know why you would spend money on this game. I don't know how Blizzard's going to make money, but I know people will buy cards even though you don't need to. So tutorial is really welcoming. That got me through the door. And then I think I've said this before, but the moment I had like 2 matches, one where I was like way ahead and got destroyed in one round. Like, the dude made an amazing comeback, just had an amazing combination of cards. And then I kind of did the same thing and just like swinging the momentum and just realizing that that's possible in the game makes it a lot more fun to play. And they've just done something where I'm not someone to just play a random competitive games against strangers. And they've just something in the way that you only have 6 emotes to be able to communicate with that other player and you can mute the other person. It's just, there's no hindrance to just jumping into a game. Like, I something has changed in that I just have fun playing with whomever. So,
so you can just like mute all the 12-year-olds.
Yeah, well, they can't be 12-year-olds, because all they can say is, the worst thing they can do is taunt you, which is the same like repetitive Warcraft phrase, whatever the character is. So it's, you don't ever hear them. So
I gotcha.
But and then the other kind of bigger game, FTL, just came out on iPad. So I've never really dove heavy into that game. So this is, but I've started playing it both on my PC and on the iPad, because I wanted to see how the touch controls worked, and they work phenomenally well. And so both of those games, I'm just like, I'm playing it on my iPad, and if I'm at my computer, I'll load up a game too. So I'll be streaming FTL soon. I completely suck at that game, but I'm totally in now. I got to get through.
That is half the entertainment value, is watching someone that has no idea what they're doing for that game.
Oh man!
And get as far as they can, and then celebrating those small victories.
I mean, I want to know what terrible decisions I'm making, because, oh man, I have a certain way that I'm going to play that game, and I'm sure it's completely wrong as far as what I'm spending my salvage on and that kind of thing. But I'm totally hooked on that.
Did you play it before the expansion at all?
Not, I mean, just we did a couple Game Curious videos, and I played like 1 or 2 rounds, but not
okay
in any. you know, Josh and Ethan dove heavy into it, so I didn't really consider it. But
you know what the game's like before the expansion, then, you know, for the most part.
Yeah, I haven't
enough
turned
to be dangerous.
Yeah, but I haven't turned the expansion stuff on yet either. So.
Oh well, then there you go, perfect. Then then you actually are getting the full FTL expansion.
Yeah, so yeah, the Advanced Edition's out for both platforms, and there's an option just when you start a game whether to enable or disable advanced content. So, and they say if you haven't played, to disable it. So I'll add that in eventually.
So did basically that get released on the iPad?
Mm-hmm. Like along a couple weeks with weeks ago. Yes.
Along with the so it was like it was already out on PC, but then they put it on iPad with the expansion.
Yes. Cool. And so then they just patched in the expansion to the existing PC game. So.
Perfect.
But yeah, it plays great on the iPad too, so that was kind of a bonus. And then the two surprises for the iPad: Monument Valley, which is, if I say an M.C. Escher painting, you kind of know what I mean.
Like yes.
As far as so it's a puzzle game working with that style of perspective, where you're just moving platforms around and they kind of intertwine on another, and you've got to basically find a path to the end by manipulating the environment. But it's just one of those. It's kind of like an art game. It's very beautiful. The atmosphere is like, it's the most absorbed I've been in an iPad game since Sword and Sorcery. So like as far as just the soundtrack and just it's fantastic. It's really short, and but they're gonna be making more levels for it too. But that was a very pleasant experience. And then the last thing, I don't know where the hell Hitman Go came from. I really hope that it came from like the core Hitman team, with them just trying to experiment with their formula. But like, the best way to put it is they were making a Hitman board game and then just put the board game out on the iPad. It is very strange looking, but very, very cool.
I see it now. Yeah.
It's got a very unique art style, and it's just, it's like, I don't even know how to describe the board, but basically all the characters have these set paths that they walk on, and you get to move one slot space at a time, and then the rest of the board moves, and you've got to basically try to sneak up on all these people and kill them. But it's got such a weird sense of style. I don't know how Hitman got attached to this, but I love it.
But yeah, they look like board game pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, but they each have their own track. I'm trying to think of, it's not like foosball, but like what else works that way? I don't really know, but
it just looks like they have their own set paths or ways that they can get around.
And I remember seeing advertisements ads for it, and I thought, like, are they making a Hitman board game? And then saw that it was for the iPad. It's like the whole art style. The game blows my mind. Like how it exists, how it happened. I want to know. And like I said, I hope the core Hitman team was involved, because you know who knows what the hell they're actually going to do with Hitman from here on out. So they know they can't just make another Hitman game straight up.
It's more and more obscure as it goes on.
Yeah, and so I hope they keep heading down this weird path, and we get
like Hitman Haiku.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, iPad's kind of coming into its own for me. I've just noticed that is my go-to on the couch when I have a break. The platform of choice. I mean, my Vita's still sitting here looking sexy, but
do you think, you know, a device like that helps you sort of appreciate when you're playing the PC games more? Does that make sense?
Kind of in the same regard that I need to like flesh out my gaming diet. Like I was saying, I need these smaller games to just give me nice distractions before I dive into heavier experiences. And when I'm doing mobile stuff like that, it's for 10, 15 minutes at a time, and I just need a distraction and a filler. But I still love playing games, and these games, I'm feeling really good that you're starting to see more games that are in that like $5 price range on these platforms. And I think we're getting better quality experiences, more traditional experiences. So it's definitely maturing, and it's not just all free to play stuff, which has been nice. So, that's been surprising that's kind of overtaken my gaming diet lately. But moving on, we're gonna try out some more game pitches, some game ideas, integrate that into the Top Video Game Podcast. We're going to get to this game generator a little bit later. I'll go ahead and post this in chat so they can have fun. Let's see. But the first thing I kind of want to talk about, like, some ideas. I've been playing Mega Man X. And okay. How familiar are you with Mega Man games? Like, as far as, have you beaten one? Have you played one heavily?
Okay. I never played them, but I always watched others.
Okay.
Like, it was never quite my cup of tea. It was probably one of those games. Luckily, you know, TVs back in the day were like, you know, nice thick glass that if I threw the controller through them, it wouldn't, you know, mess with anything. Mm-hmm. But if I tried it now, obviously I'd like punch through my computer monitor. So, I'm familiar. I know how frustrating they can be, but I also know how wildly entertaining they can be.
So, Mega Man X is awesome. I finally came around on it. I skipped the game because, like, Mega Man 2 was my jam. That was but the thing with Mega Man games is they're a completely different game after you know the ins and outs, the tricks to the bosses. Basically, like, you find the weapon that boss is weak to, and once you've done that and you've kind of memorized each level for each robot boss, you've kind of solved the puzzle of Mega Man, and then you play it just to win and to get better. Because, I mean, honestly, it took me, without any background knowledge, it took me 5 or 6 hours to just get through the main bosses, the first set of robot bosses in Mega Man X. And now, like, I feel like if I were to replay it, I could get through that much quicker to get to the end. And I guess I want a game that recreates that experience every time, because now that's gone.
Yeah.
Like, I there are 20 other Mega Man games I can play to, like, figure out that the combination of the bosses with the weapons. But I want a Mega Man roguelike, I think, is what I'm really getting at, is something that has that sense of discovery, and that discovery never ends. Like, now I'm playing Mega Man X completely differently now that I know it, versus...
Right.
Really, I have the most fun with Mega Man games and figuring them out, even though they're it's a lot of just beating your head against the wall. And I think I want a Mega Man roguelike that, you know, essentially has this giant library, especially pull them from all the 20 Mega Man games, like, of all the powers combined with these different settings, and, you know, and kind of cut and paste the levels together, and the cut and paste the enemies that are in the levels together, and just mix it up every time that make me figure out what combinations are going to work to get through this, and then make it different the next time. Because I don't know if that would be the ultimate Mega Man challenge.
Yeah.
I know not much to add on there, but let's dive into this game generator. So I'll post this in the notes, and I posted it in chat. But essentially, the guy behind Cookie Clicker, I don't know if you ever got pulled into that browser game.
I didn't, but I'm fully aware of how addicting it can be.
He developed this game idea generator. There's a lot of them out there, but this one has just it generates very high quality descriptions of games. You've written down a couple, but let's go with your favorite one and see what we can come up with.
Oh,
well, why don't you read the others and then stop at your favorite one?
Okay.
Does that make
sense? Well, one I will point out, it says an indie game where you discover the beauty of the universe with a shovel. That game's called Minecraft.
Nice.
There's another one that says an action game where you smuggle terrorists to get your revenge.
Oh.
Awesome. Like, I just,
you're a bad dude.
We call this game Al Qaeda.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if I can get my camera cut off again, this time by the government. A simulation game where you invent food chains to make everybody happy.
Oh,
like who comes up with that?
You want goldfish at the top.
Yeah. And I have to pick between these last two, don't I?
Okay, so it's definitely got where you...
Okay. I'll go with the runner-up. The runner-up is an adventure game where you hide from priests to gain levels. That one is just funny. That one's just sadly very funny.
The saddest part is you never win that game.
That's true.
You always get caught.
That's true. Or if you don't get caught, then you're just always running away. But the one I think is kind of, it's funny, but also we might be able to dig on, is a first-person shooter where you commit war crimes with innocent people to solve mysteries.
Okay.
There's so many layers to that that's not even...
Yeah. Okay, so these are all patsies. These are people you're tricking into going along with your plot. My question is, what types of war crimes solve what types of mysteries?
I don't know. That's what makes it deep. That's what somehow makes this game worth playing.
And then I've got to question the choice of making that a first-person shooter, because solving puzzles in first-person shooters is definitely not that strength. I think that's the weakest part of this puzzle, is the FPS side. Okay, so what kind of war crimes would solve mysteries? You could come up with this elaborate plot to basically... All right. Still, I struggle with the first-person shooter side of this, but you basically bring together all these landowners, these goody-goody landowners, to trust you with some cargo that you're going to bring in, which turns out to be weapons of mass destruction. But they don't know this. They don't know this. And when the weapons are of mass destruction are discovered by whatever the superpower is in this game, it basically diverts all of their attention to where these weapons of mass destruction are, so that you can... That pulls them away from something else that they were protecting that has some sort of historical mystery that, like... You know, essentially they're sitting on something that may, you know, be the site for the Holy Grail or the Ark of the Covenant or something like that. Like, you got to get their military out of the way because they're on top of this worldwide secret that you're really Indiana Jones in this scenario, but you happen to have access to weapons of mass destruction to distract the government to do this.
So you're Indiana Jones Jack Bauer.
Yes. Yes. But, like, and then the trick...
Are there any rolling boulders?
Absolutely.
Involved?
It's two types of, it's two types of games. Like, I picture, like, this kind of strategy level where you're moving all the pieces, like a risk level of moving all the pieces around to basically you see where all these military installations are and you got to pull them away from them, and then you pick which mystery in that area of the world you want to go investigate.
Okay. I see what you're doing. It's really hard to talk about war crimes without sounding like an asshole. Like sounding like you want that stuff to happen. Like, clearly you don't, because it was
tough to develop a war crime that actually isn't hurting people. Like, it turns out that those aren't really weapons of mass destruction, and
they're kittens.
Yeah. Yes, they're kittens of mass destruction.
Kittens. Yeah, I don't know. It's just that one is so layered that the fact that a random game generator came up with it and
that's why that thing is so good. It's so good. It is so good. Yeah. So yeah, check that out. It's a lot of fun. I think we'll incorporate that into our game pitch segment quite a bit going forward. But last thing, let's talk a little see what's going on in the game industry. The big thing that had my attention today is they released a gameplay trailer for Dragon Age Inquisition, and that game, that's a pretty good looking video game. That I still don't know how the gameplay is actually going to be. Like, they get in there and show some action. I can't tell if it's going to still feel like the original Dragon Age, how much influence Skyrim is actually going to have on this series, because they've talked about that in the past. But graphically, they're bringing the big guns, and last I checked, it's coming out for basically everything. It's last gen and current gen. Yeah. So, but you know, I'm assuming we were looking at it on the PC in that trailer, cause I'm a snob. And...
Well, yes, because I read an article today that basically they had to address the fact that people were like, is the Xbox 360 version gonna look the same as the Xbox One version?
No, it's not. I don't know if you do this.
There's a reason that you're paying $500 for a console, so games look better.
Gosh, I mean, people
ask questions like that, I just want to smack in the
face.
But
what a lose-lose situation for the developers of that game. Like, exactly. As far as, like, you know, when Titanfall kept getting delayed on the 360, it's just like, that studio, like, if they make it too good, then they question why they upgraded. But if you make it, like, shit, it's just like, why are you wasting my time? And, yeah, I think they all need to move on. I'm kind of surprised. I mean, Dragon Age is an interesting place with BioWare and EA right now, but I think it could make quite a splash. Witcher 3 got out of its way. You know, there's really nothing going on in the Elder Scrolls universe this year, so it's got, as far as like your medieval RPG, it's release date in October. It seems to be, things are setting up very nicely for Dragon Age Inquisition. I think we've all forgotten about Dragon Age 2. And
I saw like a little bit of that and I was like, I'm good.
So I hope they have figured out the issues and they make a, I hope it plays as good as it looks, basically.
Well, and that, yeah, the thing about the trailer, like you said, it, you know, there are obviously some cutscenes in there, but it's really hard to tell what's the game and what's not the game. Like, that's what I enjoyed about the trailer, was that a lot of the gameplay footage was blended really well with the cutscenes. So I'll give them that. But my favorite line from the trailer is the woman addressing the, what I assume is the main character. It says, "You have no idea how you survived." And then he just looks at his hands and there's fire coming out of his hands. I'm like, okay, I'm on board now. It's like, I'm pretty sure the fire in my hands had something to do with the fact that I'm the only one still here.
Yeah, I mean, that was they had that whole generic hero with amnesia thing starting, but they played it off in a cool fashion.
Right.
Apparently, glowing hands works as a good hype material for us. But I was just genuinely excited when I saw that, because I want them to figure that series out, because Dragon Age Origins started off really strong. It seemed like a really good foundation, and I'm hoping they kind of get back with that. I think the Inquisition name isn't all that inspiring, but
it
makes it seem smaller scale for some reason to me. Like, it feels like, is this the new Dragon Age, or is this kind of just a side story to Dragon Age? I don't know.
Yeah, they you know, from what I've read, they're just basically saying that we have a full story arc throughout however many games we do, but I don't know. I just, it's hard to tell, but it almost makes it seem like an Assassin's Creed game or something. That's what I would expect one of those games to be called. But yep. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, exactly. It does sound like an Assassin's Creed game. Next up, I think on one of our previous shows, we talked about Double Fine was helping publish other indie games. And now I'm hoping this is a trend, because it looks like the developers behind Starbound, Chucklefish, they're going to actually help. They've started helping this game, Heart Forth Alicia. They're going to publish it to platforms beyond the PC, which is indie devs helping indie devs. That's awesome to me. That is like how that development environment can stay healthy, is as long as they continue to work together. Like, they don't have to, you know, get bought, but like some of these more successful indies could really help out the up and comers, and this was just, I don't know, this is a really cool story.
Yeah, it's a really cool story, but of course I have to play devil's advocate and sort of point out the fact that everyone that wants them to focus only on Starbound is going to somehow use this as an excuse to be like, but you're helping out these other games and you're moving your whole place to London, and why do you have to do that? The internet is 2014 and bleh.
Why don't you want to be Mojang? Why can't everyone be the Minecraft developers? You should always, to the end of time, support your one game. We'll pretend like you didn't move on from Terraria, but always support this game. Like, Mojang's really set the bar really high for that stuff, and we can't expect that out of even games that are kind of derived from that.
But think about it, though. The guy that created Minecraft no longer develops Minecraft. There's right. a reason for that.
He has hired a team.
Not a lot of people realize that the guy that originally was on board with that decided, I think I'm going to let somebody else work on this for a while I have other things I want to do.
Yeah. And it doesn't sound like, I don't know what their money situation is, nothing near what Minecraft is, but they're not interested in, building a game and then making a support team for that game. I think that's totally fine. I think these games, it's kind of silly to be saying this about Starbound, which isn't officially out yet.
Exactly.
But no, like I said, indies helping indies, I think, is a great trend, and it's good to see some of these companies reach out to others and, hopefully impart some of their knowledge and makes for better games for all of us. So.
Well, then they get to push their entire fan base into another game that might compel them as much as the game they're developing, So, I'm 100% on board with this.
The game looks cool. The title is questionable as far as pulling me in, but get past the surface level. Metroidvania role-playing game. There's a few of those coming out on Kickstarter, so it'll definitely need the help to separate itself, but artistically it looks great, and like I said, hopefully this is the beginning of a trend with several indies helping out other indies. So I sent you a link to our Tumblr post about the Nintendo Girls Club. Did you watch that trailer, or did you just watch the GIF?
I've seen it before. I've seen it. I saw it a while ago. Has it been around for a while?
I think so. I came across
Mario,
the
like behind the curtains.
Yeah, so I saw Creepy Mario behind the curtains, and then just really happy, apparently British celebrity lady. And I thought, when I saw the GIF, I thought it was like spliced together. I thought it was two separate things. I was like, oh, that's creepy. Then I come to watch this trailer for the Nintendo Girls Club, and it's just one of those things that the intent, I get the intentions, but it's delivered in such a terrible way. I don't know why this just admits that gaming is more of a boys' club than I think it really is. And
yeah, it makes you feel bad.
Yeah. It's just like, do young girls really not feel comfortable playing Mario because of all
gender?
I don't know. I've had, when this came up, a lot of the conversations we had around it were kind of related to the whole branding of Lego Friends and how there are girl Legos and there are boy Legos. And I think we all want to live in a world where you don't have to make that separation. But I also, I've seen the effectiveness of Lego Friends on my stepdaughter and my nieces. Like, they love their Lego Friends, and so it does work in some regard, but it's also just appealing it too low of a common denominator there, that it came across as Nintendo being out of touch. That was what I was struck with the trailer.
Yeah, a little bit. And I must say, I mean, growing up, I had two older sisters, and they were just as involved in just video games in general as I was. Mm-hmm. Like, without a doubt, like my, the younger of the two older sisters was very much a tomboy, but then of course my oldest sister is very much not. And guess what? They both played the exact same games for pretty much the exact same reasons that I was playing video games, because they were fun, and they were a fun distraction. So it almost makes me think that the message itself is good, but the delivery
is
not so much.
Yes. I think it's doing more harm than help as far as it's just calling out this dividing line that we're all trying to get away from. And, it's just like I was saying earlier, I just see the widespread appeal of Minecraft. Like I said, to my niece's, niece's friends, it's so gender neutral that it's pretty impressive. It's pretty incredible. And then it just seemed like this was a step backwards, and Nintendo just going to, I don't know, just to an audience that doesn't really exist anymore. Like, it's very old school. I'd expect this in the 90s, I guess. More so. Out of date, out of touch.
And that's kind of, I just got to thinking, the fact that, the fact that mobile platforming and stuff has really come into its fold, more in the last 5 years, pretty much any game is accessible anytime, anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, why would we need to really I don't know. Like, I feel like there could be opportunities for games to be developed in that, you know, that realm. But the fact that everybody has the same, almost the same ability to access these games.
There's got to be a better way.
Yeah, there's got to be a better way. Yeah, exactly.
Which we, you know, I actually might bring this up more with trying to get our friends at Pure Geekery to come podcast with us, and I know this would be something she would have much more of a valid opinion on than two random dudes. But
right.
But still, it just that who I was really unsettled like by that trailer, and on the other side, just another misstep by Nintendo was it's kind of frustrating to see.
Yeah, they try to be forward thinking and make it seem like they have the inside, you know, job on the future of video games, but at the same time they're relying on all this old stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That they just can't give up.
Yep. Last story here. Sent you a trailer for a new science fiction horror game called Caffeine.
No. It's a sci-fi horror adventure.
So you're a...
Which is a weird word to tack on the end of this trailer.
You are apparently a young boy, but you're someone trapped alone on a random, faraway space station. And just exploring this thing, and it's creepy. And it is just another fantastic setting for a horror game, and I can't wait to see what actually comes from it. But the trailer was just... It was unsettling in the best way possible.
The trailer is really good. I couldn't help though to immediately think of Alien Isolation.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't. I was like, is this pretty much the same kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't. You know, it's atmospheric. I hope it's nothing like what we think it is.
I really hope it is Gone Home in space.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
That would be crazy, in a really good way.
And then they're going to have to explain the title to me, because nothing about that makes sense to me.
Well, they show sort of the coffee cups in the kitchen, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
With it being a kid, maybe they think it's caffeine, but it's not. That makes...
These drugs.
Evil things happen. Yeah, it's a dare game. In space.
Do drugs, you're going to end up in the space station alone.
I liked what I saw, but I felt so manipulated. I was like, okay, so, you know, I'm like reading the text and I'm like staring at this one very specific part of the screen, and then the whole time I'm thinking like, oh, something's going to jump out. Something's going to jump out at me. There's no way that this is just a legit, like, everything's fine and calm. And then because it's playing this, like, totally, like, futuristic lounge music that sucks you in. It's like futuristic Muzak.
But it's kind of funny being in the post Gone Home world now. Like, you don't really know what's going to be your angle on this horror game. What are you going to do with this atmosphere? So, I don't know. It's got my attention, though. So that's really all those trailers need to do, and happy to pass that on. So we'll get out of here with game industry shout outs or call outs. Do you have something? I kind of filled this in for you.
You did. And
if you have something else, hilarious. Okay.
No. It's good. It's pretty amazing. The animation glitch in the Telltale games, where essentially it just looks like what? Air humping?
Yep.
Like the most sensual error, I would perform it, but I would be surprised if they didn't cut my camera off again. But yeah, it's just. So what is it? The first clip was from Wolf Amongst Us,
mm-hmm.
And then they had one from the like most recent Walking Dead episode,
mm-hmm.
where everyone they're just like it looks like they're holding like a pole.
Yep.
And then they're just like thrusting.
So
I can't do it. I can't do it in like the constraints of my webcam. But
I believe Telltale, like, they actually retweeted it and said, "Oh, looks like somebody found a way to, you know, strip out our animation routines and apply them to other characters in hilarious situations." So essentially, yeah, they found the stripper animations, which are in The Wolf Among Us when you go to the nightclub. Yeah. And just
they're not in The Walking Dead, I can tell you that.
Yeah, applying them to The Walking Dead in the most serious of situations, but also just there's a scene in episode 3 where Bigby is just they're in their office trying to figure out their next moves, and he's recovering and he's like, you know, patching himself up and he's shirtless, but he's just having this serious conversation, and they have shirtless Bigby just grinding on this non-existing stripper pole while everybody's having the conversation around him, and that kind of made my week. That was especially like having just come out of it, finishing that game or finishing that episode, and
yeah,
and also just seeing Telltale kind of laughing at it. It was that was making the rounds. It was pretty damn funny.
Yeah, I've yet to start the game. Period. I have it.
Are you waiting for all the episodes at this point?
You know, I should,
because you're the opposite of me. Because you're going through The Walking Dead season 2 as it's coming out, and yeah. I'm waiting on that. And you're so
yeah.
You'll get your.
I think the problem is that I'll be like, I'm just gonna play episode 1 and see how it is. Then Lil can be like, I have 2 more episodes here that I could be playing right now.
I think.
So I don't know.
I would recommend at this point, wait for episode 4 to come out. I think playing through all 4 and then having the wait for 5 would be the way to go. I think you should still do some of that tension between episodes, but who knows when this series will actually be done. Hopefully this year. They've only got 2 left, right? They're going to do it. It's April, though. Anyway, that series is great. And those I need to see more Telltale animation glitches because their content's gotten so serious. It's good to see it have fun a little bit.
If it happened to me while I was playing the game, I would be very upset.
Yeah.
But if there were ways...
Oh, no. I mean, this was they hacked it together. They purposely made it happen. This isn't just something that popped up. So
sure.
You know, as glitchy as those games sometimes can be, that don't worry that this won't break your experience, because
sure,
yeah, that would be weird. I don't know how I'd react if I was live streaming that. Honestly, that'd be
pretty amazing.
Yeah. And then I wanted to give a shout out to. I don't normally give a short shout out to 4chan, but apparently a group of gamers on 4chan has taken on the task of making a list of every video game ever.
Wow.
So Godspeed in that endeavor. I'll keep checking on the progress. I wouldn't even know where to start. Like, you got to start chronologically, right? Or do you start backwards?
Just start naming every game you've ever seen or played and then go from there. I don't know. I really don't know. It makes me want to try it myself. Like, how many video games do I have knowledge of?
I'd really be interested.
What can I be using that knowledge for? Like, other than video games, I could, you know, probably cure cancer or something.
Like, I'd like to see the whole I'm a data guy. I'd like to see the chart of like where they start. Like, what was their initial rush? Like, sure. where did they focus heavily on, and what did they miss? And
yeah,
that'd be infuriating. Like, I could never do that publicly because it'd just be I would just like release it at the end versus, but. It'd be kind of fun to see their progress. So, anyway, good luck with that.
There would be that one game you missed that only like 10 people ever played.
But you really pissed those 10 people off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for tonight's show. Jason, thanks for jumping on here. The Top Video Game Podcast will be back again next Tuesday. We come at you live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.